Title of the sermon today, Knowing God by Experience. A lot of what I'm going to share with you today comes from a book by Henry Blackaby entitled Experiencing God. But in order to have eternal life in heaven with God, Jesus first told us that we have to know God. Not just know about God, but know of Him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except by me. We first know God through our personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Our salvation that comes when we place our faith and our belief and our trust in this Jesus. Jesus, the one who is God's Son. Jesus, the one who was born of that Virgin Mary. Jesus, the one who is sinless and perfect and holy. The one who willingly went to the cross to die by crucifixion as a supreme sacrifice for the sins of all of mankind. The one who was placed in the grave, but on that third day rose up out of that grave alive and victorious. Jesus, the one and the only one who conquered sin and death. That's the Jesus that we come to know from our salvation experience. That same Jesus who 40 days later, after walking among His followers, ascended back to heaven where He is waiting to return to earth to claim His church, the body of believers that have placed their faith and their trust in Him. Amen. We've been sharing on Wednesday, and God bless you. And I know God is blessing all of us and blessing our church. We're having about 38, 39 show up on Wednesday nights to study the rapture and the tribulation. And I am of this opinion, the rapture can happen at any moment, and we need to be living our lives as if it can happen even today. Amen? For that is the blessed hope of the church, for Jesus to come back and gather His church. We first know God by knowing this Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He is the groom, we are His bride, and we have a relationship with Him. Amen? As a follower of Christ, we then begin to know God in a more deeper and intimate way. One way that we begin to know God is that He reveals Himself to us through our experience with Him. You read the bulletin a little bit this morning. I love to hunt. I don't get to do it as much as I'd like to. My wife thinks I do it too much. I used to go deer hunting a lot, but anymore the last several years I find myself that I enjoy turkey hunting a lot more. I guess it can be said that I know a little bit, or maybe I know a lot about turkey hunting. But you see, to me it's fun to get up at 4:30 in the morning, drive to my favorite hunting ground, walk deep into the woods by flashlight. Sometimes the flashlight doesn't work. We get to my turkey blind and sit there in total darkness. And then the sun comes up and begins to get brighter and brighter, and you hear those turkeys awaken and they begin to gobble. And then I begin to do this crazy thing by calling to them. You use this box call, impersonating sounds of a female turkey, so that male turkey will come closer and closer for a date. But then he finds out it's actually me. I've been hunting turkeys for 25 years, and during that time, I believe I've gained some valuable firsthand experience, which has been very useful and instrumental each and every year. It's because I rely on that experience to know where to find turkeys, to know how to sneak up on them, to know how to call for them, to know how close they are, or to get them in the exact range that they need to be, and even where to shoot them. I made the mistake one time as I was younger and learning how to shoot a turkey. You know, the body is this big, and the head is like this, and my dad always said, you got to aim for the head. And I thought, my dad's crazy. That body's this big. I'll shoot for the big body. Well, if you know anything about turkeys, the pellets from a shotgun will not penetrate all of those feathers. And I knew I hit him, but he just kind of flew away. And my dad said, what happened? I said, I don't know. That body was this big. I shot right. He said, well, it was your first mistake. You learn by experience. I have read all kinds of books on how to hunt turkey. I have watched TV shows how to hunt turkey. I have even obtained several DVDs about turkey hunting, but nothing is more valuable to me to rely on or to draw upon than many years of experience and knowing how to be successful on those hunting trips. And so my knowledge of turkey hunting is mostly attributed to something that's earned by experience. Jesus said that eternal life is found in knowing God. This includes not only knowing God the Father, but also knowing God the Son, Jesus, and knowing God the Holy Spirit. For Jesus said those words in John 17, he did not mean that eternal life is knowing about God, because James 2:19 says that Satan and his demons believe in God. They know who God is. In fact, they know all about God. This month we have been reading the book of Job. You still have a few days. I hope you can get that finished up. You'll notice in the bulletin next month we're reading four books of the Bible. Now don't panic. Those four books have less chapters than Job does, okay? So we can do this in the month of March, and March has three extra days than February. It's all strategic. I want you to succeed, amen? What you find in the first chapter of Job, you'll find Satan engaged in a conversation with God Almighty. You see, Satan knew who God was. Satan knew where to find God. Satan knew all about God. But Satan did not know God in the way that you and I do as his children, as we have accepted Christ, his only Son, as our Savior and Lord. Amen? And with that in mind, certainly we would all agree this morning that Satan and his demons, although they believe in and know about God, they are not Christians, they are not saved, they are not with God in heaven now, nor will they ever be in heaven with him for all eternity. Amen? And so if they know God, it's not enough for us to just know God. Oftentimes in the scriptures, our knowledge of God comes through experience. We come to know God as we experiencing him in our lives and what he's doing in our lives and how he's working in our lives. And if you are a Christian here this morning, I'll assure you of one thing. You will never be satisfied just to know about God. For really knowing God comes through experience as he reveals himself to you. Amen? That should be our desire of our hearts as Christians. I want to know God a little bit more. And I try to encourage you when you come to church, whether it's on Sunday morning or Tuesday night, we've got 17, 18 coming on a Tuesday night Bible study, or Wednesday night to FBI to learn about the rapture, or 24 women together on a Friday to watch a movie. Everything we do here, I can just encourage you, come here with the expectation and a desire, I'm going to learn just one more little thing about God before I leave this place. Here, I'll tell you a secret. You can't get it all in 1 hour. And God's not going to reveal everything about him in 1 hour. In fact, you can spend a lifetime doing this. As Billy Graham has said, I wish I would have spent more time reading God's word and more time in prayer. This coming from Billy Graham, who has preached in every country of the world and literally seen probably over millions accept Christ. And he's still saying at the age of 98, I still want to know God even more. So we need to do that. Knowing God as we come here, experiencing God, getting to know who he is by watching him work in our lives. Throughout the Bible, God took the initiative to reveal himself to many people by their experiences with him. For we find that frequently when God reveals himself to a person, that person gave God a new name or described God in a new way. For the Hebrew, a person's name represented his character or described his nature. That is why we can frequently see new names or new titles used for God when they especially followed an event where a Bible character experienced God in a new way. So that tells me to know God by name requires a personal experience of his presence. We want to come into the presence of an Almighty God. We can do that when we sing praises to his name. We can do that when we say his name. We can do that when we're praying his name. We can do that when we're worshiping his name. All of it bringing us into the presence of an Almighty God. Why do we want to do that? Because we want to experience him in order to know him deeper. Biblical names and titles, descriptions of God identify how men and women of the Bible personally came to know God. The Bible is this. The Bible is a record of God's revelation of himself to man. Amen? And each of those many names for God is all part of that revelation. For instance, in Genesis chapter 22, God was in the process of developing Abraham's character to be the father of a nation. God had put Abraham's faith and obedience to a test when God asked him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. This brought Abraham to a point of an unwavering faith, a great belief that he had that God knew what he was doing. He had to decide that he really did believe in this God, no matter what. Even if he had to sacrifice his son, he believed that God was who he was. Up until that time, Abraham had known God by experience as God Almighty. Abraham had experienced that great power of God. You'll remember when God provided him the son in the first place. He and Sarah, his wife, were of old age and they were beyond the human limits of childbearing. Yet God Almighty provided a son. But now that same God Almighty was requiring Abraham to walk by faith. In Genesis 22:7, as he was about to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac spoke to Abraham and said, "My father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, son." And Isaac said, "Behold, there's a fire and there's wood, but there's lamb. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Can you imagine what Abraham was thinking or felt like at that moment, knowing that Isaac was the sacrifice? And in verse 8, Abraham says these words. He says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And so they went, both of them together, to the altar. Abraham made an adjustment of his life and he acted on his belief that God was his capital P provider. And with that in mind, Abraham obeyed God. And when God saw how real and genuine Abraham's faith and obedience was, he stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac and then provided a ram for the sacrifice too. That's only the work of God. Abraham was experiencing a God moment here. And Abraham then named that place after that God that he had come to know even deeper by that experience. He named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. What are we talking about here? Abraham, he came to this intimate knowledge of God that day through a personal experience of God as the ultimate provider. Folks, that's how we come to know God deeper. We come to know God through our experiences. That's where God reveals himself to us, as we experience in him working in our lives in such a great magnitude. We know about God. We know he's the great provider when we read the story of Abraham, but we really come to know God as a provider when we personally experiencing him provide something in our lives. I got to read this part of the book, because it's fascinating when we talk about God as a provider. Henry Blackaby says this, "For 12 years I pastored Faith Baptist Church in Saskatchewan. When we started our first mission church, we called a fellow by the name of Jack Connor to become our pastor. We had no money for moving expenses. We had no money for a salary. Jack had 3 children in school, and so we felt like we should at least pay him something, and we came up with $850 a month. But we had to begin to pray. We began to pray that God would provide for his move and for this $850 a month. You see, we didn't have the money. I had never guided a church to do that before. We had now stepped out in faith, believing that God wanted him to pastor our mission in Prince Albert. Except for a few people in California, I did not know anybody who could help us financially. And so I began to ask myself, how in the world will God make this provision? And then it dawned on me, as long as God knew where I was, he could cause anybody in the world to also know where I am. And as long as he knew my need, God could place that need in the heart of anybody he chooses. Jack passed immigration and started his move of faith. He was convinced that God had called him. I then received a letter from First Baptist Church, Fayetteville, Arkansas. They said, God has laid it on our heart to send 1% of our mission giving to your mission work. We are sending a check to use however you choose. I did not even know how in the world they got involved with us at that time, but a check came for $1,100. One day I received a phone call at home. The caller made a pledge that completed the $850 a month we needed to provide Jack's salary for 1 year. Just as I got off the phone, Jack drove into our driveway. I asked Jack this question. I said, "Jack, what did it cost for you to move here?" He said, "Well, Henry, as best I can tell, it cost me $1,100. We began that first step of faith by believing that the God who knows where we are is the God who can touch anybody, anywhere, and cause him or her to know also where we are. We made the adjustments and we were obedient. We believed that the God who had called Jack also said, 'I am your provider.' When we were obedient, God demonstrated himself to be our provider. That experience led us to a deep love relationship with an all-sufficient God." Amen. Another person who had a personal experience with God and gave him a new name was Joshua. In Exodus chapter 17, you will find the account of Joshua. He was fighting the Israelites, or the Israelites and him were fighting the Amalekites. Moses was there overseeing the battle from a nearby mountain. While he held up his hands, Moses did this. He held up his hands to God. The Israelites prevailed and were victorious. But when Moses' arms got tired and he let his hands down, they began to lose the battle. Aaron and Hur got up on both sides of Moses and they held up his arms all day long, the Bible says. And it says that God was with Joshua and the Israelites and they defeated the Amalekites that day. Afterward, Moses, seeing the great mighty hand of God personally, by experiencing God in a new way, built an altar and gave it a name, Jehovah Nissi, which means "The Lord is my banner." Now, a banner is the standard that goes out in front of an army or a tribe or a nation, indicating whom it represents, sort of like the guy carrying the flag in the war. "By this name of God, the Lord is my banner." Here's what it said. It said that these people were God's people. The Israelites were declaring, "He is our God." They let the world know He is our Lord, and it is He that we pledge our allegiance to. Moses' uplifted hands gave that constant glory to God, indicating that the battle was his and that all of Israel belonged to him. And so Joshua and the nation of Israel that day came to know God in a better way. They realized and they experienced God working in them and among them and through them, and they were God's people, and therefore they declared the Lord was their banner. Moses also had another personal encounter with God. And God revealed his personal name. I love this chapter 3 of Exodus. Moses goes, you know the story, he goes in front of the burning bush. And he asks God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them, Lord?'" God's response there in the third chapter of Exodus, verse 14, God said, "Tell them, I am that I am. Thus shalt you say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." There's such a significance here. When God identified himself as I am, he was saying this: "I am the Eternal One. I will be what I will be. I am that I am." He was telling Moses, "I am everything you will need in the mission that I have set before you." And during those next 40 years, Moses came to know God through his experiences with God as Jehovah and Yahweh. And yes, indeed, God was everything that Moses and Israel needed him to be. They knew God because they personally experienced God. They were there when all those plagues took place. They were there when God, through Moses, parted the waters of the Red Sea. They were there when they walked across that dry ground. They were there when the enemy was coming and the Egyptians were hard on a trail and God closed up those waters. They were there. They experienced God in great and mighty ways. Can I just share something with you this morning? This is a freebie. We serve and worship the same God that was all of this to Joshua and Moses and those Israelites. And if God has to part the sea again, he can do it. Amen. If he has to rain down manna in heaven, he can do it again. If he has to have all these plagues, God can reveal himself so that we can experience him, and therefore we know God in that deep, personal way. That's what happened with Moses. God also reveals himself with purpose. See, God created mankind in order for us to have a love relationship with him. God reveals himself to us. He is allowing us through our experiences to come to know him in a more deeper, intimate way. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, the story of Ruth. And Ruth had to endure tragedy after tragedy after tragedy in her life. But she got to experience God in a great and mighty way, to the point where her lineage gave birth to Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for all of us. He has a love relationship with every one of us, amen? And he wants us to experience him in that love relationship. Revelation of himself is an expression of God and his love for us. Jesus said these words in John 14. He said, "He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest or make known or reveal myself to him." It's all about the love of God, this love of relationship that we have with God. We have this love relationship so we can know God through that love experience. We know him because he has worked in us and he has worked around us. And if we know his commandments and if we keep those commandments, if we seek God and have a desire in our heart to follow his ways and we love him, and he loves us back, and he will reveal himself or manifest himself to us. For instance, you could not know that God is the comforter unless you had experienced his comfort during a time of personal grief or sorrow. That's how we come to know God even deeper, when he reveals himself to us. We come to know God through our experiences. We come to know God through this revelation of himself. We come to know God in good times and bad times. We come to know God just because he's the great I am. And my job as pastor is to assist you and encourage you to experience God in a greater and more personal way. Broader dimensions. I want to know more about God. I want to hear your God moments, for that tells me God is alive and at work in your life. And that through all of that, we get that manifestation of God. Amen? That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. Amen? A Hebrew name described a person's character or nature. Generally speaking, that Hebrew name was closely associated with that person and his presence. And thus, for us to call on one's name was to seek his presence. When you call me up, "Hey, pastor, can you come over?" Sure, I'll be right there. You're seeking my presence. If it's not possible for me to get there, you're seeking me, my presence through the phone line or a text. You're seeking presence. It's the same with God and his name. God's name is majestic. It is worthy of our praise. We sang that this morning. We will praise him. We will lift up the name of God. We will lift up the name of Jesus. For you see, when we acknowledge God's name, we recognize God for who he is. Three letters, G-O-D, God. I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes for a minute. And just whisper it with me, God. Then just say, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus. Experiencing, just take a moment. Call in the name of God. Say, God, you're the great I am. When you and I call on God's name, literally like that, it indicates that we are truly seeking him. We are seeking his presence. We are seeking to come into his presence. We are seeking to come close to him. We are seeking to know him more and more. Say it again with me. God, Jehovah, Yahweh, I want to be in your presence. praising your name all the day long. Praising his name. Praising him. God's name in Scripture becomes a call of worship for us. The psalmist said in 89, verse 15 and 16, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." Say it again with me. God, Jehovah, Yahweh. Let me encourage you to look for those times to worship God through his name. Focus your attention on his very name. For to do so, you begin to focus your attention on the God of the name. For you see, God's name represents his presence. When we worship God, we are to reverence and honor him. And when we do that, we end up acknowledging him as worthy of our praise. As I said before, Satan and the demons know the name of God. Satan knew where to find God in that first chapter of Job. But they don't know the God of that name. The name of God reveals his purpose. The name of God reveals something of his nature and his activity and his character. And so we come to know God by experiencing his name. And through that, he reveals himself to us. One thing is for certain. As you and I experience God, we will come to know him more intimately, more personally. And when we do that, we will want to express our praise and gratitude and worship of him. Amen? But you can only do that when you know him. You can look up here. My fondest memory of turkey hunting occurred 2 years ago. I had gotten a big gobbler, and my brother still hadn't gotten one. That's not us, by the way. And so I said, "Come with me. I know where some turkeys are at." And he says, "Okay." And we took our portable stand, and we set it up that one morning, and we were facing east. And there about daybreak, we heard the turkeys gobbling behind us. I said, "Here's what we need to do. We need to slowly pick this blind up and turn it." Now, there's two guys and a one-man blind with two shotguns, and so you can imagine. And I said, "But don't do it where the turkeys see us." And so we put it back down. And we heard that gobble again. I said, "They're right there in front of us." He's like, "I don't see them. I don't see them." I said, "They're right there. They're going to come straight at us." And I kept calling and calling. He got his shotgun ready. I had put mine down because I wanted him to get one so bad. And within 15 minutes, two turkeys came out of the woods and looking right at him. And he said, "Which one do I take?" I said, "Whichever one you want." And he shot one. And he was so happy, and it was exciting to do that, just like TV, although we didn't record it. But my experience with that terrain, my experience with the setup and the habitat, the movements of those turkeys was called upon, but it was used for the sake of my brother. He began to rely on my experience in order for him to know how to get one of those turkeys that day. If we want to know God, we have to experience God. You know what I like to do? I like to hear your God moments. I like to hear your experiences. Because that tells me two things. It tells me you're seeking God and God's working in your life. And it also tells me, hey, I want some of that. What do I need to do to experience that part of God? We saw some of that here time and time again over the years of this church. I remember when we got this piano, I think it was 2005, and we needed a new piano, and that piano cost $6,000. And we didn't have the money back then. You guys remember that, right? And so I went back to the place, the store. I said, we really want that. And I did not have the authority to do this. And so I'm sorry, but I'm telling you like 12 years later, so it's okay. And I said, we really want that piano. And the dealer said, well, we have to sell it, and it's only good for the sale price till the end of the week. And I said, well, I can't get back to the church till Sunday. We have to have a business meeting. You have to understand how Baptist church works. I said, I'll give you $100 to hold it. He said, okay. And so we came here, and we had a guy in the church step up and say, you know what, Pastor? I'll give $3,000 personally if the church can raise the other three. Like, whoa, okay, wow, I'm not going to turn that down. But we were a smaller church back then. And we had already collected the offering that morning, and I had preached a sermon, and it just seemed like God said, you know, ask for a second offering. I said, God, I've never done that before. And you who were here, you didn't know this was going on in my mind and my heart. And God said, do a second offering. And now by this time, you know, my leaves are shaking. God, they're going to fire me if I do this. This is just unheard of. We don't do this in Southern Baptist churches. But we took a second offering. Anybody want to guess how much was collected? I think it was actually $2,990-some. We knew who God was that day through our personal experience. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that story in this book. Oh, yeah, I do. Because you see, we saw that happen here. And there's more and more stories like that since then where God is showing up and God is involved because we are actively seeking and we're telling God, hey, show up. We want to experience you. We have a desire to know you. Show up and reveal yourself to us. And God does that. And we walk away and we say, hey, wow, that was amazing. No, it wasn't. That was God. God did all of that. To really know God, we must experience God in a personal way. For you see, our first experience of God is at that moment we are saved. Your personal salvation experience is a total must in knowing who God is. You will never know God until you are saved by the blood of Jesus. Oh, you may be like Satan, and you may know there's a God, and you may know even where to find God, but you won't know God until you have that personal salvation experience. And then after that, you must be actively and deliberately seeking God. And you do that by reading His Word, communicating with Him in prayer, increasing your faith, being involved in godly matters and serving Him, loving Him with your heart and your body and your mind and your soul, being about the business of doing things for God. Amen. I pray that you will want to increase your knowledge of God, that you will look for and find ways to personally experience Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you.